Mother's Day to those of you who are here, being a father or wanting to be a father. God bless you. As fathers, we adore our children. And if a child doesn't grow, we are very concerned. If we have a youth that drop out of high school and doesn't finish, we are very concerned. Because we want our children to grow from childhood to youth and to adulthood and to become what God would want them to be in life. Spiritual growth is also like that. You are either a child of God or you are a grown up, mature, faithful person that God can use. Both of those are very timing for us today. So today we will be looking at the signs of being a grown-up in faith. So for those of us who are born, a newborn in faith, the message today is for you to look up to when you become a grown-up. And for those of you who are already grown up, use this message as a mirror into your own life. Is there some areas in your life that you want to shape into so that you be a better person, a better spiritual father or big brother, big sister for someone? The text for the message today is Hebrews 5:11-14. So if you have your Bible with you, would you turn with me to Hebrews 5? We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. Father, on this Father's Day, the echo in our ears is that you are our Heavenly Father and we are to aspire to be like you, to be a teacher for our sons and daughters and our spiritual sons and daughters in the church, to disciple others so that everyone would grow and mature. That's your goal. As we gather today to study the word that's before us, please send your spirit to teach us, to open our hearts to the word that is before us today. Help me to bring out the truth about this text. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There are two things that I want to talk about here. The first thing is about time. There's time for everything, but time doesn't wait. Actually, we have a phrase that's saying time flies. Either we capture time and use it to our advantage, or we miss time and playing catch up. What you have done with time in your life? We can look at people at work and understand how People use time. There are people who go to work and get there before time begins, works begins. Such people are called assets by the company. There are those who come to work on time, and they are called the punctual. People who are so reliable, they're always there, punctual. But there are those who arrive after work starts, and they are called tardy. There are those who come to work when they feel like it, and when they don't feel like it, they call in sick. This last group is called the unemployed. Now, you know which group you belong. Christians grow through time as well. Some have disregarded time, and years have passed, but they remain infant in faith. So this text is a reminder of us to really get hold of time and use time to grow. The author here said, by this time, the recipients of this epistle should be teachers. That means they have failed the use of time. And this is a wonderful lesson for those of us, and again for us to remind ourselves, are we using time properly for our spiritual growth? Some might argue that spiritual growth is God's time and not human time, and that is true. But God has given you the time when you were born into his family. God's time begins at that point. Yet many misinterpret God's time to cover their own personal excuses or disobedience. And we all have done that from time to time. But we know better, because the Bible made it very clear that we have to cooperate with God. Let me give you just a couple proof texts from the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means you have a part in your salvation using the time that God has given to you. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 11 that we already went through, and I'm just going to cite two words from here. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That is really asking you to really use the time, use the word of God, and grow with it. And it is also said, see to it, brothers, that none of you has sinful, unbelieving heart. God is looking at you, how you use the time, how are you doing with your salvation. And not only that, but encourage your brother and sister to look at you, to make sure you are using time properly, to watch for one another. Here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, we went through this. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not hold prophecy in contempt. Again, these are words for you to keep and say, use it, use the time and participate in God's plan for salvation. Don't merely listen to the word so as to deceive yourself, but do what it says. It's very easy for us to read the Bible and go to bed and happy and say, I read the Bible today. That is deceiving yourself that you have done something good about your spiritual growth where you have not really done so. And God really wants you to do the word. Now, that text is from James chapter 1, verse 22. God is patient to let us try all our might and power until we realize that we don't have the ability to do God's work. Then we ask for help. And then God will come and help us and give us understanding. How did the author of Hebrew talked about time and apply that to faith? And here he's saying that it is how you relate to the scripture, how you take in the scripture. And there you should use the time to really prepare yourself so that you continue to take in the scripture, beginning with the easy part of the scripture, like milk that you can just swallow. But don't stay there. You need to grow up. You need to develop teeth and an ability to eat hard food, solid food. The next part I want to talk about is how do you develop yourself to become a mature Christian? What is happening to you when you become a mature Christian? This text tells us that a mature Christian is teaching others. It's like becoming a pastor. But it's not really about being a pastor, a teacher in the sense of you instructing other people about spiritual truth, teaching your son, teaching your daughters, discipling others so that they grow in faith. You can look at yourself, have I done that? Have I been able to do that with my son, with my daughters, with my friends? Have I done that? If I have done that, then I am considered by God to be a grown-up. But I think that is on the surface level. When we go deeper into it, how you become a teacher, Jesus make it very clear in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. What is Jesus talking about? He talked about discipleship. He talked about training. Being trained will help. If you are to train others, you are to be following someone. If you don't follow someone, you cannot train others. So training will help. Doing will help. Applying the word of God into your own life will help. And when you are not able to, confess your need before God, and God will transform you and give you the ability. Jesus' ministry is built upon discipleship. We all know that. That's why Jesus called the 12. And then on Jesus' departure, he instructed the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. But the word that is in the main word in Matthew 28, 19 to 20 is the word obey. Teach them to obey. So obedience is really one of those part of growth. It's the skills of growing is to obey. Now, we already went through that we don't have the ability to obey until we come to God and ask God to rebuild our ability to obey. So you get a little sense of where we are going in this passage. Now, when we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. This verse really tells us more about the transformation process that really helps you to be a mature person. The word constant use is telling. It derived from the Greek word that means practice. Do it over and over again. Try and try again. Read and read again. Constant use. Put it into practice. The phrase have trained themselves adds more stress on practice. You don't wait for others to teach you. You teach yourself. You work at it. You go at it. You pray for wisdom. You ask other Christians around you to help you, to dig out the scripture for you and to help you understand the scripture. Find a big brothers and sisters in Christ and ask, what does this mean? Help me understand this. That's how you do it. That's how you train yourself. But the Greek word really opened my eye to see greater depth in this text. The phrase that we have trained themselves is an attempt to translate this in the Greek. Those who have organs of perception which were trained. Then the first thing we want to ask is, what are the organs of perceptions? We don't really know the organ of perception. There's not a lot of things in the Greek. But we thank God that Luke had written something about that. In Luke chapter 9, verse 44 to 45, and here it said, Jesus said to the disciple, listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask him. The verb grasp is the same word that Hebrew talked about, the organ of perceptions. So here, Jesus is telling us, Luke is telling us, the organ of perception is the ability to grasp the things of God, the Word of God, the Word of Christ. Now, if we look at that, we can say, okay, what are our sense of perception? We have ears to listen, eyes to see, hands to touch, mind to perceive, faculty to read between the lines, conscience to know love and other things, soul to animate, the emotion to respond to stimuli. All these together are the organs of perception that God built in us, but for some reason our organs fail. Our organs of perception fail to capture the Word of God. The question is, why and how can we build those up? I think on the surface, this text teaches us that by practice, you can gain some of those back. But I think there's deeper than that. Because remember, Jesus told the disciples just a simple statement about what would happen to him, and they cannot comprehend. Until Jesus raised from the dead. And we look at Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 49, and we can see that Jesus come to the room and see them and talk to them. And they still cannot perceive and accept the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead. And Jesus said, give me some fish. And then Jesus eat. And he said, ghost doesn't have a body like me. And they still cannot understand until Jesus said, Jesus, blow air into them. And Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they received the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus explained the Bible to them. And this is how the Messiah will be. He would die and be raised from the dead again. And then they understand. Now, this text is revealing to me that your ability to understand the things of God are in disrepair by sin. Because this is the scripture said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and following say this. Man cannot see what God is doing. Man cannot understand what God is doing. Because in verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And this word is described in the context of how do you even perceive Christ or know that Christ is the Son of God? What God has prepared for you, you have no ability. Your ear here, your eyes, and your heart, your mind cannot actually receive or understand, comprehend what God has prepared for you. Now, why is that? In Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 20 said that God had put humanity under subjection of weaknesses. Because of sin, God put you in position where you cannot understand the things of God unless God opened and revealed it to you. And until God awakened your body from the dead. And that's why Paul said, the whole earth, all of creation is waiting for the day in which the human will receive his glory. And that is the day that the body is raised from the dead. Now, I understand this. That if Jesus come into you and raise your organs of perception, then you are quickened like the dead cells in your body is waking up, is coming to life again. Because it's Jesus removed the weaknesses in you and allow you to understand the scripture. How Jesus built your organs of perception back so that you would understand God. So it is not you just train yourself and you become an expert in the Bible, in the things of God. You can gain some of that. Because we know that atheists read the Bible and they will teach the Bible and they argue. There's a lot of theologians at these schools that they don't believe God, but they teach the Bible. We understand that. But that doesn't give them salvation. To have salvation and to grow with God, you need Jesus to quicken your organs of perception. And Jesus alone can do that for you. Now, I want you to look at chapter 5, verse 11. You are slow to learn. In the Greek, it said this. You have become slothful and sluggish in hearing. The text is talking about that your sense of perception, what really began to help you grow and become mature, it begins with the hearing of God's word. Now you can determine yourself whether you have heard the word of God. You have heard the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Have you heard Jesus talking to you? Now, if you haven't, the chance of not having a spiritual hearing is there. So I want you to look into that because that is the first thing, the first organ of perception that God would do. And then the second part is the heart. Because all the last 2 months we have been studying this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So the hearing is the first part that God would make it better, will change you, will transform you. And the second part is your heart. Remember Jesus teach the parable of the seed, sowing the seed. The word of God is the seed that is sown. If your heart is hard, like a piece of dirt, like the path that people walk on, or it's like rock, the seed will come in there, but the seed will die. It will not produce fruit. The heart would need to be prepared so that it is soft. So that it is good, and the word of God will come in there, and then it will sprout, and it will grow, and it will produce fruit. That is the kind of heart that God wants to prepare for you and for me. So, for those who are growing, for those who have grown in faith, Jesus has prepared the hearing, and Jesus has prepared their heart to receive the word of God. And without those, they cannot grow. So, are you mature in faith? Or are you still an infant? It may be painful for someone to tell you what kind of Christian you are. It probably matters little if you are a grown-up and people say, you look like a baby Christian. But I think the opposite might be fatal. That if you are a baby and you assume you're a grown-up, because you will not grow anymore, that assumption is fatal. So you should do an analysis of yourself using this text. It is easy to do, easy to follow. Ask yourself the question, am I teaching the Word of God to someone? Have I been doing that? You don't have to be someone who graduated from a Christian college. But are you doing it? Are you teaching it? Simple question. Right? The second part is this. For me to grow, have I been discipled? Am I someone that when I don't understand the scripture, I run to this pastor, I run to this elder, I run to this big sister and said, explain the Bible to me, explain this to me. Are you that kind of person? Have you in your life pursued discipleship? Because if you haven't pursued discipleship, you won't be able to disciple anyone. So ask yourself, have I been a disciple? Have someone discipled me about my faith? Because believing in Jesus is more than being called Christian. Jesus said, be my disciple. Have you been disciple? And the third thing that you can determine for yourself is when you read the scripture, when you hear sermons, are you sleeping? Is my head hurting when I read the scripture? When do I fall asleep? When people go do Bible study, do I go with them or find myself go fishing or doing other things? See, if people are pursuing God and you find yourself pursuing other things, not the things of God, that is an indication to you that you're not holding on to faith, you're not holding on to hope, but you're holding on to the world. That's very easy to do. You can do that on yourself. Examine yourself if you are that kind. But know this, that the Lord Jesus is sitting on the throne of grace, is ready to dispense mercy and grace upon request. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. It matters is today that you hear the Word of God. You see yourself in the mirror through the Word of God and determine who you are and where you need to go in order to grow and be a spiritual mature person. Begin to be a discipler, to disciple your kids, to disciple your brothers and sisters in Christ. God is bringing more people to himself, but God will not bring it to this church unless the people in this church are ready to disciple others. God can use anyone, anywhere, but God will choose the one whose heart are prepared to disciple others. And if we are a church that don't disciple others, God will not send more people to us because they will come here and dry and die. God wants a church that is growing and is discipling others, and everyone is doing the job of discipling others, then God will add more people to that place because the people God bring in there will grow and will not be there in that church. So I think it is appropriate for us to look at this video. It is a funny video, and I think it is very appropriate for us to look at ourselves in the mirror to see if we are growing. Let's look. But I also laugh at myself. Sometimes I think that I'm a grown-up Christian. But if I don't disciple anyone, I'm not doing it. I'm not growing. Let's stand up and pray. Father, thank you for this heartfelt lesson that we hear today. You want us to grow. We can struggle to grow by ourselves, but we will not get there. Because our organs of perception, the organs that are required to perceive and understand your words, need to be built up. And only you can do that. Only Jesus can give us a renewed organs to understand you, to be able to absorb and receive your words, and to absorb and receive what the Holy Spirit is teaching us so that we grow. Help us to be a growing church. Help us to be a mature church, that we will disciple others and bring glory and honor to you. As we set ourselves to be a church that display your glory, and we will not be able to display your glory until and unless we are making disciples and helping other people to grow in faith. Help us to be that church. As we depart from this building to go and have fellowship back there and to go about our daily lives, Lord, speak to us and mold us and made us to be like Jesus, to transform us to be like him, so that we would bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, go back.